Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. If you're watching out on our WNSTV channel and the new Baltimore Positive feed out on YouTube, you'll see that I have the celebratory Ravens situation at the bank, and Luke Jones joins us now. All of it brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. Got together with my friend Doug Workman here this month talking about well water and different kinds of water. If you need some water solutions, make sure you're checking out our friends at Liberty Pure. And Luke, I don't know, I still have a little bit of the Royal Farms fried chicken on my fingers from what was a very, very long night. I see the bags under your eyes after two picks, and lo and behold, all the predictions, wide receivers, edge rusher, are they going to deal up? Are they going to deal back? Once again, Eric DaCosta, everything you think you know, it's like Roddy Piper, you know, you figure out the answers, they change the questions on you. 27 and 31, and as mocked by Charles Davis of NFL Network, I don't know if you know that or not, not mocked both of these kids at 27 and 31, but you know, I don't know, a whole night full of surprises and Aaron Rodgers and all of that that went on, but boy, Ravens took care of needs. They took guys that they obviously like. Here we go, right? I mean, it's a good draft for them already. I mean, it's Friday and they already got two guys.
Well, I mean, everyone loves their guy on draft night. The time will tell whether these guys are worthy of being first round picks. But I think the common theme with both of these picks, and you mentioned Charles Davis, there are a few other people I saw that mocked these two. I mean, these were not players that were in any way considered a surprise to, as far as being potential links to the Ravens. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah had linked to Odafe Owe. It's Odafe Owe. Jason Owe. Jason is his middle name. He said on the late night Zoom on Thursday night, Odafe is his first name. He'd like to go by that. And he kind of joked, hey, I'm in the NFL now. People need to learn how to pronounce it. And that's fair enough for someone who's the 31st overall pick in the draft.
Obafemi Aya Bandejo. I think, you know, I learned that stuff. Edwin.
Yeah. I like the alliteration anyway. Right.
I can learn. I mean, you know, it's all good. I mean, my people aren't from this continent either. So, you know.
But I think it comes down to when you look at both of these picks, Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota, and Odafe Owe from Penn State. By the way, great Baltimore accent name right there. Odafe Owe.
Owe, we're going to see Owe. Sack that quarterback. Sack you, Flacco.
But I think the common thread that I see with these two, and for different reasons, these are big time swings at the fence by Eric DaCosta and the Ravens. One, wide receiver, right? I mean, we know the history of the organization. You and I have talked about wide receiver for so long, going back to the days of Joe Flacco and over the last 3 years with Lamar Jackson now, and year three of this revolution as far as the Ravens zigging while everyone else zags. We've talked about the importance or the lack thereof of the wide receiver position. Well, it's pretty clear the Ravens think it's an important position. Why? They've drafted a wide receiver in the first round in two of the last 3 years. First time they've ever done that. So as much as we want to talk about running the football and Lamar Jackson, what he does, what he doesn't do well as a passer, they clearly value this. They didn't draft Rashad Bateman to be a blocker. You know, if you're looking for a blocking wide receiver, you can find that on day three. Clearly, he has traits and has a physicality that, yeah, he'll do some blocking just like everyone else. But this is a guy who made plays at the collegiate level. I think you look at his 2020, he contracted COVID over the summer. He is asthmatic. He did lose some weight. He initially opted out when, remember, the Big Ten wasn't going to play. Opted back in, and then he opted out again after Minnesota had a game canceled, and they only had two games left.
What a weird year, right? Every kid's got a story like this. Every kid is tied to whatever their school did, literally, right?
No question about it, but it's funny. From that standpoint, you've heard a lot of people say, well, he kind of had a down season. Well, in five games, he still caught 36 passes for 472 yards and two touchdowns. So you look at what he did in 2019.
That's 60 a full season for a lot of guys.
Especially playing in this offense with the lack of volume. But in 2019, 60 catches, over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns in 13 games. I mean, this is a kid who John Harbaugh described it, and he's spot on with this. He's someone that you look at as more of an X outside wide receiver. He does have the versatility to play inside at the slot, which we know the Ravens like to move their wide receivers around. But Pro Football Focus very high on him. They kind of had him as their best wide receiver beyond those top three that went in the top 10, to no surprise. But they had him leading the nation in yards per route run from an outside alignment. What have we talked about for the better part of 2 years now? The Ravens needing a wide receiver on the outside, making more plays outside the numbers. And so much of that has been, kind of tied to, well, Lamar Jackson, if there's a relative weakness for him throwing the football, it's outside the numbers. Well, the point of contention has been, who has he had throwing outside the numbers to? So I think Rashad Bateman, very polished route runner. He's someone who beats press coverage. He's a guy who's very technically sound for a college player, especially coming out as a junior. I think he, on paper, he checks all the boxes as far as what the Ravens need, other than the fact that he's about 6 foot. He was listed at 6'2 in college. Big surprise, guys end up being a little bit shorter than they're listed. But I think anyone who watched him play, he's a guy who plays a little bit bigger than that. And it'll be interesting to see how it translates to the next level. If there's one, I don't even know if it's a knock, but it's not something that knocks your socks off. He doesn't have elite Marquise Brown-like speed, but he runs fast enough. He ran right around a 4.440. I think it was 4.439, 4.441, something like that. Fast enough. But I think that the interesting comp that I saw, and as someone who lives in Southern Pennsylvania, sees a lot of Big Ten football with Penn State, and we'll get to Owe in a few moments, but seeing Rashad Bateman play some in the Big Ten, I've seen some Keenan Allen comps. And look, if he's Keenan Allen, the Ravens will be doing cartwheels, but he brings you that kind of skill set where he'll make some contested catches, make plays on the outside. He's a good route runner, even if he doesn't have blazing speed is fast enough. So from that standpoint, you look at what he is on paper, you look at what the Ravens passing game has been on paper and what we've seen over the last couple of years, which we know more production, more efficiency is required if this team's going to take the next step. This is a big time swing, but we also know wide receivers, not just for the Ravens, but in general, there's volatility there. That's a high bust type of position that you're drafting in the first round. So for the Ravens to do this now twice in the last 3 years, and that's not even taken into account Miles Boykin in the third round, Devin Duvernay in the third round, even throw James Prochet as a sixth round pick last year. One thing that guys like me who've been critical for a long time didn't just say that, they can't draft wide receivers. A big point of contention was you're not even taking enough tries. You're not even taking enough swings. And we've very clearly seen a commitment from Eric DaCosta to do that at the wide receiver position. Now it's a matter of how it works out there. And like I said, Rashad Bateman, very productive college player for 3 years, even with the COVID-related disruption this past year.
A couple of directions to go with this. By the way, Luke Jones can be found, Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. I want to give big appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets, because Wise Markets is sponsoring us now. These are all Wise conversations. Please round up when you're checking out at Wise for our friends at MDA. We'll be telling you more about that with Rob Santoni as well. Route running. Let's talk route running, right? So if the highest compliment you can pay to the kid isn't that he blocks, which is you'd say about Willie Snead, or he's fast as blazes, which you'd say about Hollywood Brown, or whatever Brashad Perryman you'd say he has good hands, or whatever the word was the morning after the draft. The morning after the draft on this kid is route running. Being where you're supposed to be when the ball's supposed to be there, and then having a quarterback that can deliver it on time, right? Like, the precision part of what you're trying to do offensively that makes this thing work, it is about repetition. It is about OTAs. It is about getting on a field in Florida alone and in Boynton Beach and going and doing it in a normal environment, right? But all of this baked into it, that's one of the components that at various points when you're trying to take a quarterback and make him a wide receiver, or figure out what you're going to do with, Darren Waller or Brashad Perryman. It's that the route running part, if you got that, we can teach you the rest. That's generally the way they feel about this, because if you don't have route running and timing or vision for that, and you're 21 or you've been playing at the Big Ten, they don't want to teach you that. That's a difficult thing. So at that particular position, it's a little weirder than even what we'll talk about with the Penn State kid, which is this high ceiling, crazy athleticism, but maybe hasn't pieced it together. And that's where every coach thinks, give me that physical ability and I'll coach it up with the wide receiver or even with the quarterback. Give me the beautiful mind. Give me the timing. Give me the precision of not wild carding, which Ed Reed could never be a wide receiver, right? Right. So, or wild catting, I should say, that this kid, that is a base block. That if I were talking this morning to James Urban or Lamar Jackson or Eric DaCosta about wide receivers and offense, the base block on him is he's a route runner. And that, let's start with that. He's going to be where he's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that and clearly the ability to catch the football as your requisites to be an NFL wide receiver, right? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer concept.
They might as well draft me.
Well,
you know what I mean? So I'm saying, so if the question is he going to drop it? They all think, well, we can fix that. That's the way coaches are. I mean, really.
Yeah, but they've gotten in trouble in the past with drafting guys who didn't have a very good reputation for catching the football. And Rashad Bateman, you know, you see some reports, some concentration drops here and there, but not a serious, you know, plague where, you know, that was talked about with Perriman. Jordan Lassley, remember, was a fifth round pick.
In the coaches room right now, they said, we'll fix that up. Kid, drop that. When he's here, we're going to fix that. I mean, that's right. How they feel about it.
But he was there.
The ball was there. He's got the skill set. Next time he'll catch that one. You know, that's
right,
how they feel about it.
Well, but I would say that's gotten them in trouble in the past, because I would say, you know, to add to what you said, yes, I think the route running is critical. That ability to catch the football has to be there. But because if you can't catch at the collegiate level, what in the heck is going to make you think that that's going to change at the NFL level?
This is about the showtime of the acrobatics of what Odell Beckham, you know, can do, right? And catching one hand, fingertip, tippy toe. Like, and that's cool. You know, that's great and all that. But, you know, give me Brandon Stokley who just catches the ball. You know what I mean? Like, give me a guy who just catches the ball.
Sure. No, I hear what you're saying. And again, some of that is you either have that or you don't, in the same way that you could view the route running. Now you can refine elements of the game. And certainly T. Martin, their new wide receivers coach, is going to be critical there. Keith Williams, who's going to be, you know, doing some route running type stuff with their receivers as well. And, you know, with Sammy Watkins' personal coach, along with some other veteran receivers in the league, it's one reason why John Harbaugh brought him in to add him to the staff.
It's a different room Williams. Now with a one with Hollywood, right? You got Sammy Watkins, who you think something of.
Sure.
You have DuVernay, who before yesterday, they were all like, yeah. And last week, DaCosta's like, how dare you insult our. You know, I mean, you talk about just a liar's luncheon, right? Like, it's just anything that's said on that day becomes like fodder now, like literally, right?
I would say almost all of these press conferences at this point. I mean, even late Thursday night, they weren't exactly given a lot of detail as far as, you know, one went into the evaluation of these guys. But here's a perfect example. And this really speaks to what you were talking about a few moments ago. How many times over the last couple of years have we seen Miles Boykin and Lamar Jackson on a route on the outside not be on the same page? And look, you hear, you know, coaches will say a certain thing about it. The player will say something about it. No party was throwing the other parties under the bus in those instances. But considering the rapport that Lamar Jackson had with some of his other wide receivers on the field and not having that with Miles Boykin, it leads you to believe, well, okay, unless it truly is an issue with just Lamar Jackson thrown outside the numbers, which this is why I wanted to bring the Ravens to bring in a guy like Rashad Bateman, because you find this out, then you assume, oh, it's something with Miles Boykin. It's not to say he doesn't know the playbook, but something's lacking. You know, whether it's just a timing thing, a feel thing, the game moving too fast for him at this level compared to playing at Notre Dame, it just hasn't added up. I mean, they just haven't had a lot of success there. When they have connected, Miles Boykin's made some plays, but those have been very few and far between. So that's where you bring in a Bateman, who, known as an NFL-ready route runner, gets a good release off the line, is known for being effective against press coverage, which is something you're going to have to deal with, especially if you're not that blazer in the way that a Marquise Brown is. And he checks all those boxes. So for those of us who've been wondering about, okay, this passing game does need to be more productive, does need to be more efficient on the outside. Doesn't mean you're going to start throwing it 42 times a game, but might mean you throw it a few more times a game, and you hope, and those instances when you do, you're more productive, you're more efficient,
more efficient like they were 2 years ago. Right? Literally, right?
They want to throw it better. They want to throw it better. You know, throw and catch better. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. I mean, we talked about this 2 years ago. Football Outsiders with their DVOA efficiency metric, they had the Ravens number one. I mean, Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes. If you can't throw as an offense, you're not doing that. So they clearly were doing something right. And yes, it's all tied to the run game. We understand that. But that doesn't mean you can't take another step forward with your passing game. And yeah, it might mean a few more throws here and there. I think that's certainly a reasonable expectation. But when you do throw, it's a matter of being better at it, having your quarterback be on the same page with their wide receiver, having Lamar Jackson be more confident in throwing outside to someone like Rashad Bateman. And, you know, that doesn't mean Miles Boykin is written off, but it means, hey, scholarship's over in terms of you being a starter and being on the field for 40 or 50 plays a game like he's been for the most part, especially last year, mainly as a blocker. So that's where I just find this to be fascinating from the standpoint of we know the Ravens run the ball and run the ball a lot, and they've been historically great at doing it the last couple of years. But the evidence is staring you right in the face. When they've drafted a wide receiver in the first round in two of the last 3 years, that tells you they feel they need to get better at that position, and they need to be better as a passing offense to take that next step. So I think it just really, to your point, you know, despite what they said at the Liars Luncheon and talking so much about the offensive line and all these other positions, which there's truth in that. I'm not going to dispute that. And we'll talk about whether they're going to find a replacement for Orlando Brown, whether it's in the coming days or, you know, one of their draft picks, whatever. But it really is a case of, This is validation for anyone who talked about the fact that they need to be better throwing the football. This is them acknowledging, yeah, we do. We want to be better at wide receiver. We want to be better throwing the football. So it'll be a matter of how it plays out. But just from the low volume standpoint and the success rate history at this position, this is a big swing. This is a swing for a home run here of taking your offense to the next level. But because again, if the mindset is your offense was fine and you're just going to continue to run, and you don't care that much about throwing the football, then you're not taking Rashad Bateman. You're looking for a receiver on, you know, late day two or early day three that, oh, you know, this guy can block and, you know, we'll have him run a gadget play here or there. You know, they drafted Rashad Bateman. When you look at how he profiles and what we know about Marquise Brown at this point, you know, the question of whether he's a true number one or is he someone who profiles as a really good number two potentially, I think you get your answer here. I think the Ravens look at Rashad Bateman as the guy that can be the legitimate number one, and then Marquise Brown slides into that number two, still a starter, but not necessarily the go-to guy in crunch time. Rashad Bateman profiles as a guy that when it's third and eight and you need to throw the football, he's the guy that's going to profile to be in that guy that you're looking his way.
The other guy with Andrews, right? The other guy.
Sure.
And the other guy that's not Lamar's wheels.
Sure.
Right? Or the other guy that's not Hollywood Brown, who you better cover, or he's going to go over top.
Of course.
So that becomes third and eight, knowing full well you don't ever want to be in third and eight in this offense, right?
Of course.
Third and eight in this offense is always going to be trouble, in my opinion, because it ain't built for third and eight. I mean, it's built for third and eight and spread everybody out, let Lamar run like hell. That's what third and eight has been around here.
No question. And to be clear, no offense wants to be in third and eight, but we've said it how many different times. When this team is in a position where they have to throw, they need to find a higher level of function in those instances. And I think Rashad Bateman gives them a great chance to be able to do that. Now, it doesn't mean I think their offense, their passing game is suddenly going to become a top 10 unit. But if they can get back into that, you know, top 10, top 12 in terms of efficiency, in terms of yards per attempt, not worried about volume nearly as much. Then you couple that with the running game that they have with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and, oh yeah, Lamar Jackson, back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher. Then you have something. And you mentioned it with Andrews. This takes some of the pressure off of him. This theoretically takes some of the pressure off Marquise Brown. It's all about everything you do offensively is about what? Trying to find different ways to put stress on the defense. And I think Rashad Bateman has a great chance to be able to do that for this Ravens passing game.
He is Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. We are talking football. I'm going to be doing that all weekend long. If you're on the WNST tech service, you got that courtesy of our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. Dennis will be here on Sunday, back again on Thursday, back again on Monday. Dennis loves the draft as much as all of us. Big appreciation to our friends at Wise Markets. Make sure you're rounding up when you check out for our friends at MDA. You can go meet Alice. I'm going to zip line with her one day, or maybe I'm certainly going to zip line this summer because that's all part of the crab cake tour we got coming up. Don Moeller and I've also done the recon, plenty of sort of local stuff, local business stuff, politics. We're talking about the Bay, talking about health insurance, and certainly talking about football and the Ravens' new draft picks. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net AM 1570, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive and more Ravens football.